The book of Zechariah, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn and read with me. Just thought I'd talk with you just a little bit about some things and let you ask a question or two along if you want to, because in teaching this, I thought I made it real clear. Chapter 13, let's read together. It says, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesy. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will open mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now the 14th chapter says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. I spoke of this missionary woman that had been ravished 21 times. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Now, I'm going to read the rest of this, but I want you to think on what I'm saying. And it shall come to pass in that day. He goes on to say that the Lord will come and the saints will come with him. The Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. Think about that now. I emphasize this, that you might be able to understand what I'm saying as to the time and season of which I speak. Because a few days back I brought out some things, and apparently whoever heard it, they did not associate this with the coming of the Lord. They seem to have felt that I was taking something out of context, or that it wasn't the coming of the Lord. And they did not attack me on this, but they questioned me as to these things. And of course, when I answered them, they seemed to be very well satisfied. But I'm only saying that to say this, that a lot of times we hear and we really don't hear. As the Bible said, take heed how that you hear, that ye should not let these things slip. And the Bible said that we should take heed to these things, to give the more earnest heed to them, that they should not be mixed up in our minds, or that we should misunderstand. So it's very evident that the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah is speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus. For it says, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now see, that's got to have to do with Revelation 19. When the Lord comes back with the saints on white horses following him. For he'll return. The Bible said, and he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed, caught up into the air to be with the Lord, so shall we ever be with him. I'll read it one more time now. And it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. They said it would be a time of darkness. He said neither dark nor light, but the time of darkness would be coming. That is to say, gross darkness shall cover the people, the Bible teaches. And with this gross darkness coming, as it begins to set in, it will be twilight. It will be neither be day nor night as this darkness sets in. And I remind you again, the darkness that he's speaking of, it is an intellectual darkness. It is a derivative from the tree of knowledge, where sin will get its strength in such a great way that education will be at an all-time high, and the knowledge and light of Jesus Christ, which is the knowledge of the Lord, the mind of Christ, it shall be opposed by this power of intellectual reasoning, which already is happening. Intellectuals or human beings are opposing everything that God does. I spoke of the president signing a bill against obscene things and against pornography. And I spoke of the act of Congress, how that they have raised up the bill against it. But I also spoke of the powers of opposition of different societies that hath opposed it, fighting against it. And then there is a moral majority, not as to the fall cause, but others that are rising up to try to strengthen the things that has been passed as to decency. But anyway, it says, shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Now that should scare us right there. That should shake us up. When I say that, if we are not true Christians, if we're not truly serving the Lord of heaven and we're just religious people, that should shake us up. Because the coming of the Lord is to that day of neither being light nor dark. It means a lukewarm, Laodicean, self-righteous people. It means a people that will be so religious and yet so far from the real understanding of God. See, they won't be in the light. The Bible said if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then are ye the light of the world. See, and the world is in light. But if you do not walk in the light, then ye are in darkness. And so then it will be a time known to God as neither light nor darkness, which means that people will neither be on fire for God, nor will they just turn and go to the world. They will be a religious people. They will be what the Bible calls lukewarm or vomit on his table. They won't turn loose religion. They won't turn religion loose. They're going to be religious. But they're going to be people who want to go to the racetracks, people who want to watch the ball games, people who incorporate within their lifestyle Hollywood and all of the things of the world. They'll be a charismatic people, which will neither give light nor will it be darkness. It will be a twilight. See, Jesus said, I would that ye be light or darkness, or that is, I would that ye be hot or cold. Because I say again, if you are hot, then the blessings of God are poured out upon you. That is fervent in the Spirit. And if you are cold, that means that you do not know anything about God, and you are still eligible for the blood atonement and for grace. So the world can go on and the blood can continue on the mercy seat. But when you come to the knowledge of the truth, and the Bible said after that you've really gotten the knowledge of the truth, then if you fall away, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. For if ye sin willfully after that you've come to the knowledge of the truth, then the Bible teaches that you are lost. So then, it is a time of twilight, whereas people are coming to know about God. They are being made partakers of the Holy Ghost, in that the blood on the seat of atonement causes the rain as to the Spirit to be poured out, that upon the just and the unjust. And they are coming to a knowledge of the truth, and they know what's right, and they know what's wrong, and yet they won't do right. And yet they won't turn loose of righteousness as to religion, to go back out into the world and just be all together out there in those things, because they have a fear that God may come and they'll be lost. So they want to be religious. And as in the vision I saw numbers of years ago, they pray for their ball games and they go on doing the things that they do. They pray for the boxing team and the wrestling team, and they pray for everything. You know, and they try to take part in religious activities, whereas the Bible teaches that let him that takes part in the things of God is to bear the vessels of God be holy. Let him be holy. Let him withdraw from the things of the world. Don't let him drink, curse, smoke. Don't let him do the things of the world. Someone would say, well, I don't see anything wrong with smoking, Brother Pike. I don't see anything wrong, you know, to the extent that if you smoke like a burning log, you know, it's nothing but just a big puff of smoke. But the thing is, it's ignorance on your part to smoke like a log. And another thing is that it is a demon spirit that is within you that causes the craving of the cigarette and the cigar. It is a demon spirit within you that causes you to want to dress like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, look like the world, or do the things of the world. When a person wants to be laden with jewelry, always wanting gold and jewelry, putting it on their body, that is Satan. Satan is doing that. Because the Bible said Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And them people are wanting those things to adorn the flesh with. When you drink to satisfy the flesh, when you gaze at the non-virtuous things on TV to satisfy the flesh, the Bible speaks of the lust of the eyes. Whatever you do that pertains to the flesh, Satan is the god of the flesh. He is the god of this world. And this world is the world of the flesh. So all these things, except what is necessitated to life. There are things that's necessitated to life as to eat, to drink, the Bible said, with moderation. There is a certain thing as to the enjoyment of life that God has given you as to a temperance, to be temperate in all things, to enjoy the wonderful sunshine and to enjoy the waters and the sea, the rivers, whatever, to enjoy all the wonderful things of life, to eat and drink, to buy, to sell, in a moderation as to the need. But when a man, you know, he buys something today and he sees something he's got to buy tomorrow, and some people are like, well, the best way I know to say it is according to the world terminology, pack rats. They buy and they buy. They always see something they want to buy. They never have any money because they're always buying. And some people are always seeing bargains, and they got so much bargain that they don't have much sense. They have little sense, so they buy so much bargain till they don't even have money to pay their bills or to get something they really need. But anyway, I'm just saying that with this spirit, this evil spirit of buying and selling and always wanting something because you see it, you don't have any use for it. You just lay it back. You know it's going to be pretty in your house, and you get so many pretties you ain't got room for nothing. As a matter of fact, we get so many of them that's given to us that they just take them out by the boxes and put them down here somewhere at the multipurpose building. I told Sister Betty that they need to give those things away because a lot of people don't have hardly anything, you know, for pitches and little whatnots and all these kind of things. And, you know, I'd rather give them away, but they're piled in our corners and the rooms and everywhere because people are always giving us something. Our cup runs over. We have to share our blessing with somebody else. But I'm just saying that these are spirits. There are some people that have spirits. They can't do anything but ride. When they wake up in the morning, they burn gasoline continually. They wear tires continually. They wear out a car. They'll put 100,000 miles on a car in just a matter of months. Because they got a riding devil. That's all they can do is ride, ride. That devil won't let them do anything for God as to pray or to study or to try to help anybody or anything else. He just says, well, I want to ride over here. And when he gets over, he says, I want to ride over yonder. And people have that kind of thing. There's people that's got traveling devils. They just travel from one side of the world to another. Like the man was talking to me today. He said, you know, I just love to go into Europe, and he loves to go over here. He said, I just love to go down in Egypt. Traveling, instead of traveling all the way around the world, you know, and you could tell that it was nothing but the devil frolicking and going somewhere to live it up, you know, and have a little spree and a little party, and whether it's in Egypt or wherever it's at. Well, anyway, that is the kind of people that a lot of times are just as religious as Cain was. They're just as religious as they can be. They're neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. See, that is, I wish that you was altogether a sinner that knew nothing about God, or I wish that you was a true Christian as a child of God. But in that you're not, then I'll just spew you out of my mouth because you stand at the door acting like a Christian. People who are in the world that might come to God, they see you and you are repulsive in their sight and you are in hypocrisy and you're detestable to me. And he said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. You think I'm like you, but someday I'll meet you face to face and I'll tear you into pieces. For he said, though you pray, your prayers are abomination in my sight because you're not holy. You don't live holy. And he said, though you give as to contributing to the things of God, he said, all of your offerings are abomination in my sight. And he said, you are like troubled waters, that the ocean as to the waves casting up their mire upon the bank. This is what I liken you unto. You are troubled without any peace, without any rest. Oh, wretched person, he said, I counsel of you to buy of me raiment that's tried in the fire. And he said, anoint thine eye with eye save, that thou mightest see. He said, for ye have a name that ye live, as to religious names, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever it might be, Pentecostal. He said, but you are wretched. You are a wretched person, he said. Not a Christian person, but a wretched person. And he said, You are naked. That is, you do not have the garment that's been tried in the fire. I told you to put on the Lord Jesus. Put ye on the Lord Jesus. As to our body, it's dead because of sin, and we've now put on His body. It's been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. So we are now bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. My spiritual man now dwells in His body, and it is not I that liveth as to the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh, but it is the body of Jesus Christ, and on the inside my spirit is of God, and my spirit desireth the things of God. So we could elaborate on that all night long. But it is a sad, sickening time. It is the lukewarm Laodicean generation. It is a generation that hath come to a place to where at last the judgments of God can come. Because He cannot bless them in that they are lukewarm. He cannot bless them. They are vomit. He spews them out of His mouth. You know, a person drinking something hot or cold, they can take it. But when it's lukewarm, it's sickening. And so then he cannot take it because they're not diligent in serving God. They don't have any diligence in really fasting and praying. The Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. One woe cometh and then another woe. The whole world is religiously sick. They are religiously sick. They have been indoctrinated until they are religiously sick. So then I would that you be hot. I would that you be cold. But since you're not, I'll bring the end of the world. So we're right there at the end of the world. This is the day. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear, nor dark. That is, when people are walking in hypocrisy, their life is not clear. You can't tell whether they're a ball player or whether they're a Christian. You just can't tell. It's so close you can't tell. If it wasn't for the elect, as to having some revelation, some people are so religious until you'd never be able to tell. So that's the day we're living in. What kind of day is that? It said, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee, and it shall come to pass in that day. All right, so then we see that in that day is the coming of the Lord. Somebody would say, I'd love to know the day when the Lord's coming, Brother Pike. As to the time and seasons, which he said in his own power, I'd love to know what kind of time it will be when the Lord comes. That's the kind of time it will be. It will be the Laodicean lukewarm age where there's neither light nor darkness, that is to say spiritually. You know the light and the darkness. When you say neither light nor darkness, that does not mean as to the natural light or darkness, but the spiritual light or darkness. Even though it is a true fact that when the Lord actually descends, the Bible teaches that a third part of the stars will be smitten, and a third part of the moon will be smitten, and a third part of the sun will be smitten, and it actually will be a semi-light. It really will be, but that's in the tribulation period. See, but in the spiritual perspective of it, as to the Christ coming, it's in the midst of this turmoil of problems that He will appear. All right, so then we see it is the day of the coming of the Lord. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Now, someone would say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, living waters? Where is this coming from? All right, this is why you need to really listen to what I'm saying. I just told you that in the fourth verse of the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So then, this is what I'm telling you. This is the day when the Lord comes to stand upon the Mount of Olives. I've stood there on the Mount of Olives. Some of you have stood there on the Mount of Olives. That mountain is going to cleave in half. And already, they have learned that the mountain is cleaving in half. They've checked it, and already the crack is struck, and it's beginning to cleave in half already. Just a little tremor, maybe an earthquake, and just like that, it would just break open. So then it is out of this mountain. As it goes, the Bible said, to the north and the south, then the river will run as to the east and the west. See, that is, it'll be running just exactly the opposite of the opening. If the opening is to the east and the west as to the crack, then the waters will run between the opening. So it says here, and it shall be in that day that living waters go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be. The seasons will still be there, so you know it's this world. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. Now I think you can see by this that we're still proving that this is the day of the Lord and the coming of the Lord and the time when he will sit upon his throne in not the new earth, but in the restored earth, which is called the 1,000 years millennium. So then in the 1,000 years millennium, he will be anointed king. It says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. That means here at Bethlehem, right here in America, the Lord will be king over this part of the world. And the Lord will be king over Germany and over Japan and over Israel and over the Philippines and over all the world. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. He will be sitting on the throne there at Jerusalem, and he will be the king of all the earth. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, there shall be one Lord, and his name, one, which you know is Jesus. All right, so all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Remember, Jerusalem will still be around now. Don't forget, it'll still be there. Though the earthquakes hit, though the Bible teaches that the impacts of the earthquakes shall cause the great cities, the buildings of the great cities, to actually crumble to the ground. But the earth will remain, and cities will remain, and people will remain. The earthquakes, no doubt, with the bumming. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited, because he said, no more utter destruction. That is, he's not going to entirely destroy it. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Think of that. That's a horrible plague. That is a horrible plague. But it'll have to do with the gases and the bumming and all these things. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Now, remember when David was king in the time of him and Solomon? See, David gathered gold like it was dust. He went out and fought battles, and he would take all the gold and silver of every nation. And he would take it and keep it to build the house of God, or to have it when Solomon come to his regime. To build these things, it had to be built out of gold. Just talking to you tonight now. All right, so then, to give Jesus this gold and silver, and to make him as it was with David, the son of David, that he might have power over all the world with all the gold and all the silver. But he said, all the gold is mine, all the silver is mine, the cattle of 1,000 hills is mine. To make him the most fabulous king in all the world. The battle of Armageddon will take place. Revelation 19, the blood will run to the horse's bridle. and Jerusalem will fight. And the Bible said in that day that the Lord shall fight for Jerusalem, and in that they will defeat the heathens as to all of the nations of the world, that is to say the Gentiles, and all of the gold and silver that belongs to the Gentiles will then belong to Jesus, or that is to the Jewish nation. And they will be made the head of the nation. So it goes on to say, all the gold, the silver, the apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents, as this plague, that is the consummation as to the eyes and whatever. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now after this great battle of Armageddon, just before the millennium comes in, after this great battle, the Bible said Satan will be bound 1,000 years and put into the bottomless pit. And it says that every people or person that is not devoured in this battle, that they will have a chance for inhabiting as to the millennium. Okay, now let's listen at it for just a minute now. They will be under the constraint of the Jews, as the Jews being the head of the nations. What is left of those nations shall survive, even as nations. Like, for instance, from here in America, there will be many, many soldiers, many people that will go against Jerusalem. In Germany, all of these nations everywhere will conspire against Jerusalem. They will confederate against Jerusalem. And as we said concerning Gorbachev, when he came over here, his desire was to make all of the nations one great army, which the Antichrist will proceed to do. The Antichrist will gather them all together and make them one great army under one great leadership to be a type of the coming of the Lord as to the Confederacy. And then the Bible says, who can make war against him? He will be so powerful that nobody can make war against him. And when he gives a command, being troubled, I brought this out, we won't go into it tonight, but being troubled with tidings coming out of the east after that he has established his kingdom, he will go forth in his fury, taking all of the nations together as one unit. And they will gather in around Jerusalem to devour Jerusalem, to do away with Jerusalem. And the Bible said, in that day, the Lord shall fight for Jerusalem. And the valley will run with blood up to the horse's bridle. You can see with so many people why that the book of Revelation says, the harvest is ripe, thrust in thy sickle, and the blood was to the horse's bridle, as the song says. And then it was said to one of the angels, thrust in thy sickle and cut down the vine. We say the grapevine, we say this went through the vine or the grapevine. See, once the sickle is thrust in as to reap the earth, for her vintage is ripe, that is to say, once everything comes into a cluster, then Antichrist will be fighting against the Lord, and the Lord will raise his sword, and people will be like a grape that you plucked a knife into. And that is called the ripeness of the vintage. And when the sword begins to move, the blood will begin to be spilt. And then once the blood is spilt and the end of the thing is over, where it says cut down the vine, then the next move will be altogether making an end of every nation, to where people can no more reproduce as the Gentiles, or to do their own thing to fight against anyone. So the grapevine will have had its last harvest. Cut down the vine, thrust in the sickle, for the vintage is ripe. Well, that is to say, it will start when Antichrist starts killing the people. He'll start killing the people, and their blood will run as they resist the number 666. All right, so we see here that once the plague, the fight, everything is over,
Now listen real good now. The battle of Armageddon, when the fight is over, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, everyone is left now. I want you to really let that sink down into your heart and mind. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left, so there will be some people left, of all the nations, so it does include all the nations. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, that is all the nations which came against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, are you listening? How many understand? You know, they ask me this question so many times, and they look at me with a real strange sort of a look when I say these things. And they say, you mean to tell me that there's people going to go through that millennium and live out there in that millennium when Jesus is king out there? And these people are of the nations that came to fight against Jerusalem? That's true. You know, it's just like now when you have a war, there's a lot of people, even Christians, that are drafted and put into the army and are made to go fight and spill blood. Isn't that right? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you know and I know that if a man goes fights and spills blood, he couldn't have any favor from God. The Bible said, David, concerning him, David said, I've climbed over a wall, I've run through a troop. And the Bible said he killed his tens of thousands. The thing that made Saul angry was when Saul went to battle, he was such a great, great person. And when he went to battle, there was thousands of people that were killed. Not to say that Saul did that. When it says David killed his 10,000, not necessarily that David with a sword killed 10,000, but it meant under the leadership of David as to his armies. Saul, thousands, but David, 10,000. David has slain his 10,000, but yet the Bible said it was a man after God's own heart. Solomon said there's a time to kill, there's a time to refrain from that. So then the Lord himself shall slay till the blood runs to the horse's bridle. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, these nations came to destroy Jerusalem under the leadership and power, the alien power having to do with Antichrist. But when the nations are defeated, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Then the Bible said it, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year. Notice now, not for a day or a week or somebody says a certain time, because in the millennium it'll still be daylight and dark. It'll still be harvest time. It'll still be year by year. I tell you again that 2,000 years to the flood, there was an earth and a world, and that world passed away. And 2,000 years from that flood over till now, and the world has passed away. And 2,000 years, I say to now, to Calvary, that is. And 2,000 years from Calvary until now, and the world again is ready to pass away, and then another world comes in. This time, it is a twofold thing, just like it has been running in cycles of twain. It will be the millennium and the celestial. So the millennium will come in. That will be another world for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. It will be the same earth, the same trees, just like I look at that fountain out the door, so beautiful. That same water, same birds, same beasts. The only thing is Satan will be bound 1,000 years. The curse will be lifted It will go back to the garden. And man will live 1,000 years without dying. And the proof that death did not come by God, but by man, will then be seen. For he said, in the day thou eatest thou shalt surely die. A day with God is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. And then when man can live 1,000 years without death, and then convert right over into the celestial, then the people will know that God is good, and that he had nothing to do with death, that death is God's enemy, that death is conquered, that God has conquered that enemy. Death is thus conquered, and that man hath to fear it no more. And now, living 1,000 years as a God day, it means he is altogether free from death, and in that death is conquered, God will then glorify the earth, glorify the human body, glorify the heavens, and we will live in a beautiful celestial world throughout eternity. All right, so it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. I want to tell you again, that means that this world, at the coming of the Lord, that won't finish the world, only the world as to the third turn of event. That is this present world. Like Peter said, you know, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. He said concerning the water, the days of Noah, they were the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now over here he said, all flesh is corrupted its way before God. I say to you, the same God speaking in me, that you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. The revelation of the Lord Jesus shows that that's what it is. When the revelation breaks, that means the heavens, the scrolls, is rolled back, and the next world is thus coming in. That's why John called it the revealing of Jesus, or the heavenlies, or the other world. So then you see that those people are going to live on this present earth, right here. Now, they're not going to rule and reign with Christ on this earth. They're just going to be under the constraint of the Jews as nations. But them that are killed during the tribulation period shall be resurrected. Revelation 19, and these, the Bible said, shall rule. Rule. That means have control over the people and over the nations and whatever. Rule and reign. Reign means that they will be in the upper echelon, or they will be as on the throne, or they will be the powers of government. They shall rule and reign with me 1,000 years. Okay, listen. One more time, because I know that your mind's going to question this, and people are going to question this, because people don't teach this as a whole. So I'm going to say it again. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me these people that came to destroy the Jews is actually going to worship Jesus? They're going to worship the Lord. Someone said, well, do you really believe that they'll want to worship God? The beauty of the throne and the glory of His kingdom will be so it will draw men like honey draws bees. But it's not only that. The Bible teaches that they're going to be made to worship Him. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess. So they're going to be made to do it. If you don't believe that that's true, and if the family of Egypt go not up. When you say Egypt, civilization comes out of Egypt. That means that the Gentiles are derivative from Egypt as to the hieroglyphics. So then, and if the family of Egypt, where the Bible said, go not down to Egypt for your help, which means the flesh. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, which means that they may not. Not because the devil will cause them not to, because the devil is bound for 1,000 years. It's to show that Eve done what she did on her own. Satan only enticed her. She didn't have to do that. Satan wasn't in her. We are an individual. We are a sovereignty of our own. And what we do The devil, he isn't to blame for that. The Bible said, for me not to give place to the devil. See, I say to somebody, if you'll come on in, I'll make place for you. But if I don't make place for them, then they don't have any place. And the Bible said not to give place to the devil, no, not for a moment. But see, you give place for him. Eve gave place, so the devil came in. Many of you have given place, so the devil comes in. See, you give place. Your lust, your desire, you wanting the thing. Eve saw the fruit. She thought, now this is something that will make one wise. So she lusted after it with her eyes. And she partook of it, and she lost her life. And that's exactly what you do. Don't nobody make you do it. You can't get upset at God. You can't get upset at the preacher. You can't get upset at your fellow man, mother, daddy, brother, sister, whatever. You do it because you want to do it. All right, I don't want to get to preaching now. I've just been talking to you. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth, all of the families of the earth, all of the families of the earth, America, Germany, everywhere, he'll be king over all the earth. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. That is, they're not going to have anything to eat. If America, if the king that's over this, and there will be kings over different parts of the earth, all those kings will come periodically into the city to cast their crowns down to his feet. And if any of them refuses to come, they won't have any crop. God won't let them have any crop. You won't be able to run around and buy from the stores, you know, because there won't be anything in the stores. There won't be any crop together to put into the stores. He says, the Lord of hosts, even upon them, shall be no rain. There's a spiritual aspect of that that's already set in. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that comes not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. Now what day will that be in? What day? In that day shall there be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. That is cooking. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanites in the house of the Lord of hosts. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Let's stand together. I believe that ought to make it clear as to what we're saying. If there's any dispute, you can talk to the Lord about it, or you can come to me and I'll do what I can to help you if you're really concerned as to understanding it. So then someone would say, but Brother Pike, this is another day that he's speaking of. Do you believe that there will be another day when the Lord will be king over the earth, that he will let the heathens come and worship him? And in that day there will be holiness unto the Lord on the horses' bridles. Do you know of a day like that that's ever been? Do you know of a day like that that's coming? Do you? When there will be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord? Have you known of a day when there was no rain upon the crops of the nations that refused to come up to the house of the Lord? Or that the plague that caused their eyes to consume away was upon them because they did not worship the Lord.
All right. So then we see that this is a great, mighty thing that the Lord has done. And He is indoctrinating us that we might know and that we might thoroughly understand that this day is near at hand. So then, if you love the Lord, let's press in and do something for God. Let's remember that we're going to serve God one way or another. It's like the law. You serve the law one way or another. You either honor the law, obey the law, do what the law says without being thrust into prison, or you either are beat with a blackjack, a billy stick, or whatever it might be, and then you serve the Lord by force, by constraint. One way or another, you serve the Lord. And the Bible teaches that that's the way it is. As with the law, with the billy stick and thrust in the prison, as with God, a spiritual billy stick. The horse, Bible said the bridle is for his mouth. And the whip, the Bible said the rod is for the fool's back. Because this is the only way you can control them. So then you see that God is going to take those nations that came in. Daniel said, the abomination that maketh desolate, when you see all the armies of the world gathered in against Jerusalem, know that the end is then or nigh. So then we see that all of them that's left out of those nations are going to worship the Lord. They're going to have a dwelling place. They're going to have a chance to have food. They're going to come up to Jerusalem year after year. And they're going to worship the Lord, or else the judgments of Christ will be upon them as to a constraint. All right, let's sing together. I hope I've made that clear. Tried to. The end of the world is here, and there's many things perhaps that you don't understand. I don't know. You know, maybe you do understand. I trust that you do. But we need to understand. The wicked shall not understand. But the Bible says the righteous shall understand. But Satan, Lucifer, even the god of this world has blinded the eyes of the wicked, even the eyes of their understanding, that they should not see when good cometh. But the Bible said God has enlightened our eyes and our understanding that we should be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of these wonderful things given to us in Christ before the world ever was. Brought to light as revealed at the rent veil or the opening of the curtains at Calvary. And then comprehended in the end time by the mind of Christ, as to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, that we may receive a full reward. We used to sing that song, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. You ever sing that song? Can you sing it? Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. How do you know that when God comes into your heart, that every burden rolls away? No matter what kind of burden that you're laden down with, or the problems that you have, when the Lord comes in, God rolls them all away. Can you sing it again with me? Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. Rolled away, every burden of my heart rolled away,
every sin has
sing this little chorus when the saints go marching in. We hadn't sung that in a long time. You know, it's just about time. The Bible said, and the Lord shall come with all of the saints. Now, when he says all of the saints, that means me too. That means you too. All of you that are saints, that means you too. All right, let's sing this together. Couldn't be anything else but Revelation 19. Of course, following Revelation 19, that means Revelation 19, the end of the tribulation period, and that means that the coming end of the millennium, the battle of Armageddon, then the millennium of them that are left. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, when the moon turns into blood. Stars began to fall. Talking about the coming of the Lord now.
Lord, I want to be
in that number when the stars began to fall. Oh, when the saints marching in.
Go marching in.
Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching. Sing it again. Oh,
when the saints
go marching in.
Go marching in.
When the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
When the sun refuses to shine.
Oh, when the sun refuses to shine. Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number when the sun refuses to shine. Oh,
when the saints.
The altars are open. If you'd like to come to the altar, you're welcome.
When the saints go marching in.
Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching. When the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching. When it's neither night or day. When it's neither night or day. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Or when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
Go marching in.
Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching. One more
the moon,
when the moon
turns into blood,
turns into blood.
Oh, when the moon turns into blood. Oh Lord, I want to be in the number when the moon turns into blood. When the stars begin to fall, when the stars began to fall. Oh Lord, I want to be in the number when the stars begin. One more time. When the sun refuses to shine. Oh, when the sun refuses to shine. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the sun refuses to shine. Or when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching. Somebody say hallelujah. You know, it just come across my mind. Brother Ron called. He said he was over in Paris, France. Couldn't make connections like he was supposed to going into Nigeria, Africa for the minister's meeting as to the setting of the crusade. But everything's going to work out all right. And you pray for him. And Brother Don will be leaving Saturday. Brother Ron got the visa, both for him and Don. When he arrived in New York and he sent the visa back for Don, so Don has his visa, and everything is pretty well in line for Brother Don to leave Saturday morning. All right, one more time. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, can you sing it with me? I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call that set of song. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows, they're lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows all lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. Somewhere.
In the shadows you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. For standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll him by the nail prints in him.
Can you sing that again?
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find. Cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Come home, come home. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're
lift your hands up together, close your eyes. I'm going to ask Brother Jerry Faison to come, if he will. And while our brother comes to dismiss us, let's think on Jesus tonight. It's getting late. It's getting later and later. Every day, I check my heart and my life to see if everything's well with me and Jesus. The Bible said that when you lay down at night, you should not let the sun go down on your wrath. For who knows, during the night, the Lord Jesus may call you. You want to be sure that your conscience is clear. Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. And that's what I try to do. And tonight, while you're standing here, or if you're here in the sanctuary, open up your heart. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him while he is near. The Bible said call upon him while he may be found. Folks, we're going to worship him one way or another. I repeat again. And the Lord said, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. Every wicked one, every infidel, everyone that shunned God and his grace, that went the way of the world, that didn't have time for Jesus, though they've died and they've gone on, many of them. He said, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. So then, let's serve him while we can, and bow to him while we can, and yield our hearts to him while we can, while it's profitable to us. For in that day, we won't profit anything. It'll just be a forced issue. And in that, we'll have to serve him, bow down to him, and won't get anything out of it. Afterwards, we'll just be turned into the lake of fire. So let's worship the Lord. While you're standing here and brother comes to pray with you, remember me, think on me. When it's well with you, think on me, because I'm always praying for you. Always, Paul said, I try to remember you in my prayers, making mention of you in my prayers night and day. So you remember me, pray for me that everything will work out in my life, with my children, my home, with my family, with my loved ones, and I'm praying for you and your loved ones. And pray that we won't do anything that God would not have us to do. and pray that we won't fail to do anything that God wants us to do. May the Lord bless you as our brother comes.